Good morning, Nashua. You are listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM, and you can watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. I'm Alyssa O'Mara, Programs Manager of the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce, and I will be one of your hosts today, along with Emma Williamson, Membership Relations Manager. Good morning, Emma.
Hello, Alyssa. You can find us here every other Tuesday from 10 to 11 AM, thanks to our generous sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. Make sure to give both Chamber Chats and the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce a like and follow on Facebook to stay up to date with all of our amazing events and programs, such as...
Oh, we're going to jump right into those.
We can wait. Quick. We can make people wait.
No, it's fine. I forgot that we adjusted our script, so we have new things here. So, first event we have is Business After Hours. That's going to be tomorrow. Still time to sign up for that. Wednesday, February 12th at Days Jewelers in Nashua. And we do have a lovely donation from Fort Engage of Nashua of a dozen roses for someone lucky winner at the raffle for Business After Hours. Our ninth annual mini golf tournament will be Thursday, February 20th. At Bishop Girton High School. Check-in will begin at 5:15 and we play from 6 to 8:30. It is a super fun event. It is also one of the few family-friendly events that we host every year, so you can bring your kids. There are still team tickets available and we have just a couple of sponsorships for greens left. So if you are interested in sponsoring one of those greens, let us know. You come in, you decorate it. There is a prize for the best decorated green and it's just super fun.
You get a team so you can play.
Yeah, we have a great time. Coffee Connect Tuesday, February 25th at Coffee and Kindness, making the most of your membership Wednesday, February 26th via Zoom. And our business education for this month will be on Thursday, February 27th, also via Zoom. It's going to be on the New Hampshire Data Privacy Act. We will be joined by the Consumer Protection and Antitrust Bureau of the New Hampshire Department of Justice. And we're going to be learning from the Data Privacy Unit themselves, some of the investigators who are going to be enforcing this new statute that just went into effect on January 1st for all New Hampshire businesses. So, definitely, if you are a business owner, please check that out, February 27th. And finally, our Thursday referral group will be hosting their own event at Local Street Eats in Nashua on February 27th as well. It's called Refreshments and Referrals. It's a chance for you to get to know some of our amazing members who are part of our Thursday referral networking group, one of which is here today. So.
Yes, our first guests today are Lydia Foley and Alyssa McQuaid from Purple Finch Properties. Welcome, ladies.
Morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for being here. So we're going to jump right in with some questions. You guys ready for that?
Yeah, we're ready.
So Lydia, you are the broker and owner and founder of Purple Finch Properties. Let's talk a little bit about location. Where are you guys? What area do you service? You are a real estate brokerage, so let's hear it.
Absolutely. So our main office is located right on Main Street in downtown, 204 A Main Street, just a couple doors down from where we are now. We also have a second location in Hollis. We're licensed in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. So Southern New Hampshire, Northern Massachusetts, real estate's a very localized profession, right? So knowing about the areas, the schools, that's all really an important attribute in a realtor. So we don't venture too far out of our comfort zone, but we do have referral partners in other parts of the state. But our main focus is Southern New Hampshire.
Awesome. Awesome. And how long have you been in business for?
So I've been licensed for real estate since 2010 and Purple Finch opened in 2015. So we're turning 10 this year.
That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you.
How about you, Alyssa? How long have you been a realtor?
I've been a realtor about 7 years now.
Wow. What's your favorite part?
Oh, there's so much. It's so fun. Every client is just so different and you really get to know people within the community. And even if people are not from this area and they're relocating to New Hampshire, it's really exciting to just be able to show them all that New Hampshire and Southern New Hampshire and Northern Mass has to offer.
That's awesome.
Every day is different.
Yeah, it really is, definitely. Right? I'm sure it is. So let's talk about this Southern New Hampshire, Northern Massachusetts real estate market and probably how different both of those are as compared to each other. But, most of our listeners are here in the Nashua area. Mm. So let's jump right in there. What's Nashua like? What's Hillsborough County like? What are the details?
Yeah, so the real estate market, there's a lot of interesting things going on in the market right now. It's very competitive still. Inventory is low. it's February, so what we're seeing right now is the lowest amount of inventory throughout the year. Spring and summer always brings more inventory, but also more buyers. Mm-hmm. And the competitive nature, what we're finding is if things are priced right, we are still seeing multiple offers. We are still seeing buyers overbid. We're seeing buyers, sometimes we have home inspections too. So it's a great time to be a seller. It can be a little bit tricky to line up timeline and logistics depending on people's needs. But for buyers, you know, I think just getting out there and seeing as many homes as possible and making strong offers, but where you feel comfortable. It is possible to buy a house. It is possible to sell your starter house and buy a new one. It's just making sure that you know what your motivations are, your priorities are, and communicating those to your realtor so that they can help you accomplish those goals.
Yeah, setting those realistic expectations, I'm sure, is very difficult in this market.
It can
right?
be.
Yeah. Alyssa, do you have a preference? Are you a first-time buyer, agent? Do you love move-up buyers? Who's the favorite here?
Oh, that's a great question. So for me, it actually changes quite a bit. So I feel like I go through a lot of fluctuations with working with first-time home buyers. I'll work with a handful of them, and it's really special and exciting. And then all of a sudden, I'll switch gears, and I'll start getting referrals for maybe retirees, widows, people that are looking to downsize or really need to downsize years ago, but are finally at a point where they're able to. So I feel like it changes quite a bit. Right now, I feel like I do have kind of a little bit of a mix because we're still at the beginning of the market. But yeah, that is a really tough question because I feel like each different client profile, they're just so unique, and it's just really exciting to get to know them and help them during one of the biggest, you know, processes during their life.
Yeah, it's a huge moment that you guys are there for. It's a big deal. And I'm sure you develop these relationships and people can you maintain them and people come back to you. And so you get to see people through all their different stages of life throughout.
Yes.
I'm sure the last 10 years, Lydia, you've had a few people who've come back, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to see people grow and reach their personal goals and how real estate can help them meet their goals, whether they're investors or they've purchased a starter home and their family's growing and they need their forever home, or you're downsizing, or, you know, there are other components of real estate too that are more difficult that can be very sensitive, like downsizing or an estate sale or things like that, where it's not always a fun, exciting reason. So making sure that we handle each transaction with care and making sure, we were just talking about this the other day, that clients feel seen and heard and valued. And we know that this is a very emotional, stressful process. So giving people the time and attention and tools they need to feel good every step of the way.
Wow. Do you have any advice for first-time buyers or those maybe the downsizers? Because I feel like that's both of those are, you know, that middle range where you're selling your starter home and moving to a new one, I feel like you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe you feel a little more confident in it. But for brand new buyers or for people who've lived in their home for 50 years, I mean, hugely emotional on both ends there,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Do you want to take first-time buyers?
Yeah. So for first-time buyers, absolutely. It's at this market, you know, you hear a lot of things, how competitive it is, how many people from, you know, outside the state are moving to the state and how it's just really challenging. But it's absolutely possible. And honestly, this is a message of hope. You know, you might put in a few offers, you might make a couple of those offers, but the right house always works out. And we always tell our clients that. So it's definitely possible to purchase a home in today's hot climate.
Awesome.
Yeah. And for downsizers, I would say engage with your realtor early. Like, don't spend time and money on things that you may not need to, because you've been in your home and loved it for so long. A lot of times people think, I need to remodel the kitchen, or I need to buy all new furniture in order to be like photo shoot ready for listing my home. That's not the case. Like, have us, even if you're 6 months out, have us come through for a walkthrough. You know, you may be concerned about ABC, but we may say, hey, don't worry about those things. Like, we will give you the feedback so that you're not wasting your time and money. Usually our biggest action item for downsizers is start packing. Like, watch the minimalist documentary, get some inspiration going. When in doubt, throw it out. Your kids don't want your crap. Like, it's just, it. That's probably the most emotional part for downsizers is all the stuff.
The belongings and the memories.
Yes.
50 years in a house.
Yes. And it just accumulates. And we fill space, closets, basements, attics. So that's usually the most tedious part and most emotional part. So I would say engage with a realtor sooner so that you know what your homework is, so that when it does come time to list, you're ready.
Wow. That's some great advice there. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. We're also live on Facebook and WSMN.live. We are chatting with Lydia Foley and Alyssa McQuaid of Purple Finch Properties. Lydia, I have some questions about your business in general.
Sure.
Why did you start your own brokerage? What was the inspiration?
So when I first started in real estate in 2010, it was a really crappy market. Yeah. There were a lot of foreclosures, a lot of short sales, and I actually had another job at the time. So real estate is really a business where you can jump in full time. You don't have any base salary. You don't have any benefits. I had a real job, a full-time job and marketing at PC Connection, formerly known as, I think it's Connection now.
Yep.
And I worked there for several years. So I got licensed in 2010 and I did both. I did real estate part-time for the first few years. And then once I felt like the market was changing and I confidently had enough transactions under agreement, I made two phone calls one day. I didn't rage quit necessarily, but I talked to my dad that morning and I said, if I quit my job and I run out of money, like, do you got me? And he said, yes. And I talked to Mike Turcotte and he said, quit your job. You can do it. And now he tells the story and he says, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it all worked out. And at that time, I had been licensed for 3 years and I went to a local brokerage that gave me the confidence to say, we'll make sure that you're busy to be a full-time realtor. So I did that for a few years. And what I was finding was I was starting to do more commercial real estate, and being at a franchise wasn't necessarily synonymous with commercial. So I wanted to be able to do both residential and commercial real estate. At the same time, my brother had moved home. He got his real estate license. So when you're a salesperson, you take a 40-hour class and you take an exam to become a licensed salesperson, but you have to work under a broker. So when my brother took his class, I took it with him to become a broker. And that's a 60-hour class, and then you take another exam, and I was able to open my own brokerage. And being independent, I think it was a little bit nerve-wracking because there are so many franchise options in real estate, but for me, I really wanted to be located downtown. There was no real estate office downtown. In fact, there still is no other real estate office. The space that we occupy, like in the 70s, was a real estate office, so that's kind of cool. It was Damon Real Estate. And actually have Damon's old license plate hanging in the office, which
That's
is
right.
kind of a relic. I bought it on eBay. And, you know, I was so surprised that people were so supportive. Nashua is such a special place. It's a really small community. And what I found was people want to support local business owners. And that's been, you know, I didn't expect that. And it's been a really special part of being an independent brokerage.
Wow. What a great story. Like all these little pieces of Nashua history all of there. I love it. I'm going to jump back to the real estate market right now. Can we talk a little bit about the lack of inventory and what can be done about such lack?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just for an example, looking at the inventory this morning in Nashua, there were 17 homes for sale. A few of those are new construction. A few of those are flips. There were 13 condos and 4 multifamilies. So for a city of 90,000 people, that's not enough.
Mm-mm.
Alyssa had a listing this weekend. What was your experience? It was in Amherst, but what was your experience with your listing this weekend? It was an estate sale.
Yeah. So an estate sale. It was pretty wild. So in Amherst, in a really nice location, great neighborhood. We listed on Wednesday. We had showings, I think, within an hour or two shortly after it was listed. all
40 showings.
Yeah, 40 plus showings. The open house, because we had two snowstorms during this past week. So we had one open house and we had over 65 groups, which was pretty crazy.
So
I spoke to the seller who, you know, unfortunately doesn't live in the country. So we had to kind of work with his time restraint and situation. But we had 19 offers. Yeah, all really great, top notch offers, super competitive.
And his face right now is like,
God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's been that way for a while.
It has been. And what's the solution? We're behind in the state of New Hampshire, tens of thousands of units. I think I heard yesterday 60,000 units.
Oh my gosh.
And what's great about New Hampshire is you do get more for your money. So we do see people from other New England states moving here. We see people relocating here to get more for your money. It's such a special state where we have great education. We're so spoiled by access to the ocean, the mountains, nature, neighborhoods. You know, New England, I think New Hampshire is the best state, but, you know, what we do not have in southern New Hampshire is a ton of undeveloped land.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, the focus should be redevelopment. So, looking at underutilized property, mm-hmm. downtown office buildings, lots that may require environmental cleanup, the city is doing a great job with trying to work with the EPA to clean up different property to develop.
The tannery,
mm-hmm. right? And to me, redevelopment is the key. It's more expensive than new construction, vacant land. There are programs available through the government, sometimes through the city as well, for cleanup. But we need more rental units. The rental vacancy rate is less than 0.5% in Nashua, which is very unhealthy. A healthy market is 5%.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time it was 5%. And we also need more of a variety. We do have some new construction happening on Exit 1, single family homes starting in the mid 600s, but I feel like we need some more condos. You know, we need things that are available at all price points.
Yeah, starter homes.
You know, it's tricky. Again, we don't have the land. We might, sometimes in Massachusetts, what we see is people splitting lots or tearing homes down to build multiple properties on one lot. We haven't seen that here yet. I'm guessing it's not a super profitable way to go about it.
And probably not feasible with all of the zoning restrictions that we have in the state.
Yeah, and what's great is Nashua is going through a program right now to change the zoning code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We love that.
Yes. So that will be helpful for developers. But I think that what people can do is get involved, like volunteer for boards or
committees,
go
to your
planning,
alderman
zoning
meetings.
Absolutely. If you care about the real estate market, if you're a homeowner and you care about your home value, if you have kids that are looking to buy homes and stay in the area, get involved. It's a great small community where, I mean, I think they always say it's like two phone calls to get to the governor. Like it's a very small state.
And she lives in Nashua.
She lives in Nashua. So it's something where if you care about something, you should spend time volunteering and getting involved.
Absolutely. Now, you were talking about redevelopment and especially the downtown area with some of these office buildings. Do you see anything happening like what Manchester has done, where they've actually waived some of their restrictions for developers to, like, they had a restriction of no storefront properties could be used for housing, and they've waived that for a few buildings, and now there are units in there, and it's all housing. And I mean, their rental market is a little bit better than ours, to be frank. Like,
yeah, absolutely. So it's funny, I spoke to a developer last week that has done a few projects in Nashua, and there is a retail space in one of their buildings, and I said, oh, what was your intended outcome for that space? And he said, planning zone approval was the intended outcome. this is what the city wanted. But you know, what we've seen is sometimes that space can be difficult to lease out. Small business owners, they can only afford a certain amount in rent, especially if they're a startup. So requiring retail in a mixed use development, we're not downtown Boston, right? We're not going to have a Banana Republic on a street corner. We're not going to. Everyone downtown is an independent operator. They are a family owned business. They are, you know, maybe they have multiple locations, but they're not a national chain.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at planning and zoning, I think Matt saw Sullivan, Sam Durfee, Liz, they're doing a great job at the city, and they are super flexible. And I'm on a city board that has helped put together a process where if a developer has a project, they can pitch it to the city right at the very beginning. So they'll know what the city is looking for those components, and they can work it into their pro forma to see if it's feasible. And any kind of requirements, I mean, it depends on where the property is located, but retail has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, people aren't coming downtown. When I was little, I used to take the city bus with my grandma to go to the Brandt and Bradley's and Seminole Plaza, and people are shopping online. They maybe sometimes go to the mall, but we're seeing the mall being redeveloped too. So there's a lot of change in making sure the planning and zoning departments and boards are in alignment with that is imperative to the evolution of Nashua.
Absolutely. Did you participate in any of those rezone meetings last year?
I did. I'm on the committee for the zoning code change with Sam Durfee and the contractor that we're working with. And it's been interesting. I mean, there have been some projects that have come up that had a lot of public reaction that were by right allowed by planning and zoning as it was. And the master plan that was developed during COVID was a beautiful document with the outline of what the city would like to see happen over the next 10, 15 years. But the zoning code wasn't in alignment with that. So we're working to make sure that the goals in the master plan are in alignment with zoning. And hopefully, again, the goal is to make it easier for developers to come in and do the projects the city wants to see.
So if you're a developer, call Lydia and pitch your idea. She'll help you out with that.
Absolutely.
So I can't believe this time has flown by with you two ladies.
Honestly.
But I do want to ask both of you, because you are such a wealth of knowledge and you are both entrepreneurs. I mean, as a realtor, that's what you are, right? Mm. Like, so who, if someone was new to business, if someone wanted to go out on their own as a realtor or as just, you know, anything, a small business owner, if you could recommend one teacher, one book, one podcast, something along any of those lines, what would it be? If just one that changed your life in a good way.
I definitely love to consume audiobooks, podcasts. I'm into a lot of different weird topics, and definitely listening to audiobooks about business. I mean, what's great is that in 2025, somebody else has already done it, right? So you don't need to recreate the wheel. But, you know, not to look like teacher's pet, but I would say get involved in your local networking chambers. Like, one of the biggest things for me that has helped shape my business, which is pretty much only based on referral, is getting involved in things that you care about. And very early on, and I love learning, and some of the things that have really shaped the business have been Leadership Greater Nashua, Leadership New Hampshire. I just last year I did, or 2023, I did UNH New Farmer School, which was like a 6-month program about for farmers.
Look at you.
It was so cool. And you meet so many people and you learn so much. So I would say, like, authentically engage in things that you care about and that you want to learn about, and the right people will appear.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great advice.
What do you got? Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. I mean, I would have to agree on that for sure. There's a lot of audibles. There's a lot of books out there. I love listening to audible and audiobooks. But yeah, I'd have to definitely agree with Lydia that getting more involved in your community and seeing the mentors that are out there within the community. And, you know, if there's an industry that you're interested in, maybe getting to know, you know, the people that are in this area that are kind of spearheading those industries. Mm. And that's certainly what I did when I decided to get into real estate. I met with Lydia, and, you know, she was our realtor, and we had an incredible experience, and just kind of talking to her about that process. And I made a huge career change. So I'm so grateful. But yeah, definitely seeing who within our community are, you know, those leaders that you're interested in learning from.
That's awesome, awesome. Guys. Thank you so much for that advice.
Yeah.
You thank are you. Wonderful.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, when we come back, Alyssa and I will be joined by Sheila Considine Sweeney of Greater Nashville Mental Health. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN, 1590 AM, 95.3 FM, live on air and online at WSMN.live and Facebook. We will be right back after this short break.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Whether you're shopping along 101A, working out at one of the many boutique gyms or studios in the area, or simply enjoying a nice day out with the kids, you need healthy fuel to keep you going. Look no further than Clean Juice Nashua, your local neighborhood juice bar. Hi, I'm Mary Beth Fiango, owner of Clean Juice. We are located at 2 Cellu Drive in Nashua. Clean Juice is the only USDA-certified juice bar that offers you the purest, organic, cold-pressed, never-processed juices, smoothies with hemp and whey protein, acai bowls, like our fan favorite, the Berry Bowl, in small bites like avocado toast and barbecue chicken wrap to help you thrive and stay on the go. For more information, visit us online at cleanjuice.com or stop by at Clean Juice 2 Cellu Drive, Nashua. Stay fresh, stay healthy. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, this is Tony Joyce from Joyce Cooling and Heating. Now that winter is here, your comfort and indoor air quality are more important than ever. A new heating system with a state-of-the-art air purification, humidification, or zoning options can make hibernating a lot more pleasant. Upgrading to any type system will save you money and ensure a worry-free system. Don't wait until you have no heat. And remember, that's Joyce Cooling and Heating, 882-4244, or on the web at joycecool.com.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
Catalyst, a person who empowers growth. I have been a catalytic agent for positive change for individuals, couples, families, and even businesses for over 30 years. If you want to achieve more of your potential, feel better in the life you're living, and want to maximize your business potential, check out what I do at kevinrossemery.com. P.S. I'm also an ADD-ADHD catalyst, helping those gifted to step more into their greatness.
Welcome back to Chamber Chats. I am Alyssa O'Mara, and I'm here with my co-host, Emma Williamson. You're listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. You can also watch us live on Facebook or WSMN.live. Don't forget to give us a like and a follow so you can stay up to date with all of the happenings at the Chamber and all of our wonderful members.
And thank you again to our sponsor, Kevin Ross Emery, Inspirational Catalyst. And a big welcome to our second guest today, Sheila Considine Sweeney of Greater Nashua Mental Health. Let's jump right in. Why waste time?
Yeah, welcome, Sheila.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We're super excited. You guys have a lot of wicked cool stuff happening, and we are pumped about it. We've been hearing about it for a while, so we love Cynthia, and she has been very helpful. Emma is in this year's Leadership Greater Nashua class.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
I run that program, so we've been hearing little tidbits from her when she's come to speak to the class, but we are pumped to hear all the things from you today. Why don't we start a little bit with you and your role with Greater Nashua Mental Health, because you have a fabulous fancy title that we would love to hear about. So why don't you share with the listeners your full title and what what it is you do for the for Greater Nashua Mental Health.
Sure. Well, my name is Sheila Considine Sweeney, and I am the Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives at Greater Nashua Mental Health. I've been at the agency for, I think I just had my 6-year anniversary. Time flies.
Wow.
But what I do under that fancy title is I really support Cynthia in implementing and overseeing our 5-year strategic direction. I also handle special projects. In particular, we were just recently certified as a certified community behavioral health center. And that was something that we started with a 4-year SAMHSA grant back in 2022. So I oversee that initiative in working with the state, as the state is also part of the Medicaid demonstration project. So, yeah, kind of all new endeavors is what I do, forwarding the agencies in their strategic work.
That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit more. I know we have a couple of talking points, now, mm-hmm. but I want to jump right into that. The Certified Community Behavioral Health Clinic. So this is a new designation to the state of New Hampshire, right? June of
Absolutely.
2024 is what I was reading.
Yes.
And now you are one of two in the state clinics now
yeah.
that have this?
We are ourselves in Greater Manchester Mental Health.
That is incredible. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that, what it takes to become a certified community behavioral health clinic, and what changes maybe you will see from programming and things like that, or if it is just you're finally getting credit for all of the amazing programming you do with this designation?
Well, it's been a little bit of a journey, so I'm going to kind of encapsulate our journey just a small amount. Back in probably 2021, the agency decided to do a self-assessment to look at our readiness to pursue that designation. Okay. We decided, hey, we're in a kind of a good spot. Let's apply for some SAMHSA funding for a planning development implementation grant, which we did and we received back in 2022. So that was a 4-year grant to really help us do the things, meet this very strenuous federal criteria. During that probably first year, the state of New Hampshire reached out to us and said, hey, we're looking at our readiness as a state. Would you be willing to kind of partner alongside us and participate? Of course, we were already doing the work anyways. So back in 2023, we rigorously started working with the state along with SAMHSA to apply for the designation. It was very rigorous. We had to look at expansion of care, the no wrong door to enter treatment. Mm-hmm. We had to make sure we had 9 scopes of services in place. In particular, we had to stand up a program for members of the armed forces and veterans, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
Expand our hours, hire additional staff, do all the things. And we originally met provisional status, and as of July 1st of 2024, we were fully certified by the state of New Hampshire.
Amazing.
And recognized as a CCBHC, as long as being a community mental health center for well over 100 years here in
right.
the area.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So this is, it is really, I mean, you did expand services, mm-hmm. but also this is really a credit to everything you've been doing already
yes.
in the community. So I was reading about this designation, and I loved the wording of just that in order to have this designation, the clinic has to help people by providing whole health approaches, which is incredible. It's not just the behavioral health. You're looking at the social aspect, the physical health of the person. And I think that's so important right now, especially in this society that we live in, right? Like where things are so parceled out and it's like, well, you have this, so therefore that's your treatment and forget about everything else. It's so incredible that you guys are doing that. Can you talk a little bit about the 24/7 access that you guys have now? Because I know you have, you know, kind of emergency teams that are available and numbers and things like that for people to call.
We do. We have emergency services, 24/7 emergency services, mobile crisis response, where there's a centralized dispatch. So a member of the community calls a number and the call is dispatched to a mobile crisis response team in the area. So it's kind of like a centralized dispatch that's run through the state. And we would be Our team would be dispatched either by phone or by person, depending on what the situation is. So that is really cool. That's a requirement of our certification, but it's something that we've been doing within the community for a while now.
Wow. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like recently I was at an event and we were hearing from some people from Greater Nashua Mental Health, and they were talking about kind of the reach that you have even beyond that. Like, you have someone in the police station now who works with the officers as well as with
we have a community outreach liaison that works with local police departments. Julie Berglund, actually, she's amazing. So she's that liaison between the police departments and us to truly to help to smooth the passageways and hopefully help before clients become involved, in the criminal justice situation. So the local police departments are very supportive, and they're wonderful. You know, they want people to receive treatment.
It's incredible the community and the connections that you have to be successful in what you guys are doing right now, right? Like, these relationships, if they were not good, would be detrimental to everyone involved. So it's wonderful that they're expanding and getting better as the years go on. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the strategic direction, the five strategic directions?
We created a 5-year strategic direction. We did a lot of planning.
Okay.
It started in 2022, and it really focuses on, you know, empowering all people to thrive through excellence of care, community engagement, and commitment to innovation and growth. So, you know, it's a 5-year plan. We're in year number 3, you know, in essence, that's the focus. And we really, you know, we have core values that we focus on. And I brought my little cheat sheet to make sure I didn't forget any of the important points.
We have ours.
So I see your cheat. So
we're all
it's the teacher in me.
Yeah, you got to have the notes.
I like to have my cheat sheets. But we really focus on our core values. When we were creating the 5-year strategic direction, I think Dr. Whitaker and the board of directors really did their due diligence. You know, and our core values are collaboration, being compassionate, being authentic, and being empowering. Because we want to see not only our community be successful, but our staff as they're delivering care to be successful and feeling that they're well prepared, that they're respected and they're valued in the work that they deliver.
That's huge, because I feel like that's something people oftentimes overlook, right? It's like people that are receiving treatment for mental health, which obviously they deserve to get. It's a hard time for them, but I don't know, the stuff that the staff that works there must have to deal with sometimes. I feel like for me, I'd be like, I'd take it home with me. And like, you can't do that for everything that you see in the profession, especially like the clinicians that are face to face with these individuals. Like, it's a lot. So I love when an organization focuses on the employees' well-being as well, but especially in the mental health world and the healthcare field.
I think that's so important because, you know, our clients' first access point are the people at our front desk.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, so we often think of, you know, the therapists and the people in the trenches doing the work, but it starts with that first experience with our front desk staff. And, you know, I think it's important for our staff to be well-trained, which they are, and to also feel valued and respected about the work they do, no matter what they work they do. Everyone is valuable, and everyone has a role in that strategic vision of ours.
Yep.
That's it.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Greater Nashua Chamber of Commerce staff on Chamber Chats, live on air at WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. We are also live on Facebook and WSMN.live. We are chatting with Sheila Considine Sweeney of Greater Nashua Mental Health. So, Sheila, for our listeners, if they wanted to support what the mission of Greater Nashua Mental Health, and if they wanted to get involved in some capacity and help, is there a way for them to do that? Is there any need from the community that our listeners could support in some way?
Well, it's so funny that you bring that up. We are in the middle of completing a community needs assessment,
which is
part of our work. with our grant with SAMHSA, but also part of our requirements as being a certified community behavioral health center. So at this point, we, all over our website and social media, we have surveys out for people to complete. We have a general survey for anyone could fill out, and we also have a partner survey because don't we have great community partners in this area? We just do. So if anyone would like to log on to our website or hit any of our social medias, you probably would even see our surveys hanging up at your local Dunkin' Donuts. we have gone far and wide to try to elicit participation. Fill out our surveys. That would be great. That would probably be the easiest thing to do because our goal with our community needs assessment is really to look at what's happening in our community right now. What are the barriers? What are the gaps? What are the services that we need? I think we have a wonderful safety net here in the Greater Nashville community. We have wonderful partners, but there's always room. There's always room to try to address some new issues. We know there's some really big gaps. Housing is a huge gap.
Yeah.
But this is the time for us to look at our services. I think Greater Nashua has a comprehensive scope of services, but we know that we can't meet everyone's need, and we rely on the wonderful work of our partners. But this is the time that we've got, you know, the magnifying glass out and really trying to look at what else we can do.
How long will that assessment be available on the website if people want to
do it? Probably until about April.
Okay.
So there's plenty of time. It actually just got posted. We're all over our social. We're on socials. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. We're out there.
Is it all just at Greater Nashville Mental Health?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yep. And is that the website as well? Just
GNMH.com, yes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, the abbreviation.
Yep.
Perfect.
GNMH.
Awesome.
I think probably most of us know us by GNMH at this point.
I know.
Everything's getting shortened, but it's out there, yeah.
Okay, awesome. We love that. So can I ask personally?
Sure.
What drew you to this role, to this organization? You just said you're celebrating what, 6-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty lengthy time to be with an organization. What pulled you in?
Well, it is so, actually, it's a funny story for me. I have been working in this field for probably 30 years as a therapist, as a treatment center director, and a lot of different roles. And I always got frustrated with the siloing. Like, if you had a mental health issue, you needed to go here. If you had a substance use disorder issue, you had to go over here. And it frustrated me as much as frustrated my clients. So back in, I think it was the end of 2018, I saw a position posted for the director of integrated care at Greater Nashville Mental Health. And I was like, oh my God. It's finally happening. There's an agency that sees that care needs to be integrated, that we're treating the whole person. We're not just treating someone's head or someone's arm. We're treating the whole person. And I was like, I'm going to get that job. And I went and applied to become the director of integrated care. And it was a brand new position at Greater Nashville Mental Health. And about 2 hours after my interview, Dr. Whitaker called me and offered me the position. And I was very passionate because I shared my journey that we need to treat the whole person.
Yeah.
And that's how my position or work at Greater Nashville started, as the director of integrated care. And it that position still lives today with another person. And it evolved into this because I was very passionate about whole person care and being a CCBHC, the linchpin really is about treating the whole person and coordinating the care for that person. You are treating an individual and everything that comes with it. And we're very lucky at Greater Nashville because we partner with Lamprey Health, and we have an integrated primary care clinic on our site at 7 Prospect Street. So we do treat the whole person, and that's my passion. That's why I'm here, and I'm so lucky that Greater Nashville allows me to do this work.
I love that story. You manifested that job. You were, truly.
I think I did. I joke with Dr. Whitaker about it all the time. I remember during my interview stating,
you made this for me.
You're going to hire me. This is really, I'm made for this.
That confidence is perfect. I love it. Can you share how many locations now do you guys have?
We have 5 locations.
5 locations. Oh my God. Okay.
We have 5 locations. We're kind of spread out, but we have 5 locations. 7 Prospect Street, 15 Prospect Street, right over here at 100 West Pearl, mm-hmm. 440 Amherst Street, and 5 Pine Street.
Wow. You're all over the place now.
We are. We are. We did just purchase some property not too long ago, so our ultimate goal is to get many of us under one roof eventually. So that's part of the strategic direction as well.
Okay, congratulations.
That's over on Simon Street.
Okay.
Our new property.
Fantastic.
And well, it's just land at this point. It's not a building yet.
And so is the, I don't know, maybe you're not allowed to talk about this, but is the ultimate goal to have that be like one large location, or will you continue to have the satellite locations?
Well, it's still in the works as to what it's going to look like, but it will be to consolidate some.
Okay. Fascinating.
That's
incredible
news. Have a nice trauma-informed facility.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Are your emergency services, are they based out of all different locations, or is there like one that really primarily?
Our 5 Pine Street location is where our emergency services, and I believe that's where it will stay.
Okay. Very cool.
Wow, it is cool.
It is really cool. I mean, all of the things that you guys are doing, this designation, the assessment, which I have to do. I actually had an email to me. I have some.
Oh,
we know someone
being,
on the committee, so we both got it this week, Emma and I. And we were like, oh, we got to do that, especially with you on air today. We were like, oh, a good reminder for that.
We have our homework.
I really do appreciate it because the more information we have, the better job we can do in completing this community needs assessment. Mm-hmm. And it's our second one. We did one 2 years ago, and it was a daunting task. I joked that I feel like I was writing my master's thesis again. but this time we have some assistance from a consultant, and we're doing a lot of community listening sessions to really just to hear about the need so we can address it better.
Wow. I didn't even ask this earlier, but can you share just a little bit with our listeners about some of the history of Greater Nashua Mental Health? Because you have been around for a long time and we didn't even touch on that.
Over 100 years.
That's incredible.
And our 100 years was during the pandemic, so we didn't get to celebrate the way we should have. So I believe our 105th year, which is 2025, there'll be a larger celebration or memorialization of the work that we've done in the community.
Wonderful.
But it's 100 years. Can you even imagine that? What, you know, the way the agency has evolved, you know, helping with services throughout that. So, but we have been, we are the designated community mental health center for this catchment area, this area. But our history is rich, and we have a lot of great partnerships because of that rich history, which allows us to come and do these great things.
Wow. And imagine all the people served and helped in that time.
Years.
In 100 years.
I know.
Years.
Yeah.
It's crazy. On our website, there's actually this crazy, well, it's not crazy, this wonderful timeline of showing the different things that we've been involved in, like chaperoning dances back in the day.
Oh my gosh.
Obviously we have a deaf and hard of hearing program. We are, the point program for the state of New Hampshire for the work that we've done with deaf and hard of hearing with people with disabilities and it's just such rich history of what's happening. Now, many of our services are community-based. Our staff are in the community every day delivering in-home services to the clients that need it and just supporting people so that they can stay in the community and not, decrease hospitalization rates or emergency room visits. Because we know, just if you and I were to go to the emergency room, the wait that there is, mm-hmm. that, people that need to go to the emergency room for mental health crisis, we want to decrease that and be able to keep people in the community by providing in-home services.
Absolutely.
And mobile crisis support to prevent that hospitalization or emergency room rates.
Do you think that right now, is there any real challenge that you're seeing for GMNH, like legislatively, policies, community-wise? Is there anything that's like come up that really is a challenge for you guys right now, or are you feeling really good and you don't even want to jinx it by talking about it?
Well, I mean, I think we always have to be mindful of the change in political climate and what's happening legislatively. But I think our agency, Dr. Whitaker, does a tremendous job advocating within the legislature and what's happening in the community. So I'm a positive person. I think our agency is very positive, so we want to stay, optimistic about the future, but also be mindful and realistic that things could change. But take advantage of the opportunities that we have and be strategically planning so that there is no change in our services that we provide.
Awesome. I love that. Last question for me, and it is, biggest success since you've been with Greater Nashua Mental Health, what is the thing you are most proud of out of all of the amazing work that you have done?
I have to say this designation as CCBHC. It's something that I went to Dr. Whitaker back in 2021 and said, I really want us to apply for this grant. I know it's huge. Please consider it. And we did, and we've gotten here. So I have to say this to me is like something I'm super proud of.
That's amazing. That's awesome. You should be proud of that. That's fantastic.
It's taken a village to make it happen, but I'm super proud of being the little nudge that helped it along.
I think that's wonderful, and we are so excited for you guys.
Yes.
For this designation, and everyone listening, go do that website, go do
go
the assessment,
media, do go the and survey.
Yes, help them with their goal here. Sheila, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been incredible chatting with you. Listeners, I did forget to ask our first guests how to reach them. So just a shout out to Purple Finch Properties as well. You can reach them at purplefinchprop.com. And Greater Nashua Mental Health, we can find them at gmnh.com. So you can get in touch with both of our, all of our wonderful guests today. Listeners, in just 2 weeks, we will be joined by two more Greater Nashua Chamber member organizations. You have been listening to Chamber Chats on WSMN 1590, 95.3 FM. Don't forget, you can watch us live on Facebook or on WSMN Live. Make sure you follow us on social, and we will chat with you again soon. I am Alyssa O'Mara. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Emma, for being here.
Thank you.